Today, I would like to share with you the miracle of the Transfiguration, a miracle which I see happening around us every single day. However, please allow me to begin by saying, I'm sorry. I am sorry for everyone who is suffering this week. I see you, and I am here. I begin this way because there is suffering, there is pain, there is othering happening that does not seem to end. There are conflicts of our world, and this point is dearly important. For we cannot envision a better world unless we recognize the suffering, the pain, the conflicts that need to be transformed. Therefore, I see you, and I am here. Specifically, I wish to send this message and prayer to all the people of the LGBTQ+ community and our fellow Christians in the United Methodist Church. For those who do not know, these souls have made a significant vote this week, a conflict which will change the face of their denomination. To explain, the vote upholds the traditional structure of marriage and worship leadership, which does not include members of the LGBTQ+ community. I stand against this model, for I do not see how it supports God's kingdom and the love we are called to have for all people. So I respond with, I see you, and I am here. That said, I believe there is hope. There is light because of this conflict. I can see a vision forming. This may be the point where the world changes. The conflict of this vote and the way we react to it could be a modern vision which inspires the miracle of transfiguration changing our world. Would you pray with me? God, please show us the visions of your world and a kingdom of heaven, a place where we can all be equal, united, and appreciated. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts on all our hearts be a blessing to you, God. When I first heard about this impending vote last year, I admit there was a little bit of pride that the church I chose to follow had figured it out. The United Church of Christ had already become aware and woke, in liberal terminology, to the plight of the LGBTQ+ community. I joined an open and affirming church in Maine, and here I am serving in an open and affirming church in Massachusetts. As such, I became blind to the very struggles which I support because of the echo chamber I live within. Let me ask you, how many churches of the nationwide 5,000 churches in the UCC do you believe are open and affirming? What percentage? Last year, I would have guessed 70 to 80%, and I actually assumed this was a relatively low estimate. Well, the truth is that the UCC church, according to our national reporting, has only 1,500 churches which are open and affirming to the LGBTQ community. That means that we are only 29.5% open and affirming to members of the LGBTQ+ community. Now, I mention this not to lighten what happened in the United Methodist denomination, rather to recognize that their vote, that conflict, has broken me out of my liberal-leaning echo chamber of open and affirming where I worship. Still, conflicts are not new. About 2,000 years ago, there was another conflict, a fight between Jesus and Peter, a conflict which began when Jesus came to the disciples and revealed that he would be crucified. Distraught, Peter argues with Jesus, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. Jesus responds by calling Peter Satan, or the adversary. Thus we are witness to a theological conflict between these two people who view our budding faith in two very different ways. Jesus sees the faith as focusing on the divine, where Peter sees the faith only by human standards. This conflict, I imagine, starts to tear apart the ministry as the disciples choose sides. Then we come to the passages of today. And today we see the passage begin with Jesus using a hammer, the authoritarian approach where he says, this is the way it is. You will follow it. This is the only way. However, the Bible does not reveal any changes within the disciples. The imminent loss of their friend, teacher, and Messiah are ruling the disciples' emotions, their worldview. This moment in the story of the Gospel according to Matthew is where I see we are today with the vote in the Methodist Church. It is a hammer decision, and people are emotionally distraught. Now, I am speaking about the LGBTQ plus conflict today. And I believe it is important to recognize that many of the conflicts of our society are also located at this particular hinge point. Human feelings are ruling most of our perceptions, while people are using hammers or force to try to change other worldviews. Mind you, these feelings, are very important, but we are stopping there. We cannot see beyond the scope of our own pride, our own worldview, or our own tribalistic belief system. Furthermore, the use of force does not change views, but causes people to hold tighter to their views. Nevertheless, I do believe there is another way. Another way to move past these conflicts, which Jesus shares in the vision of the Transfiguration. Now, before I go any deeper into the miracle, I believe it should be explained, I should explain how Christianity has generally understood the Transfiguration. The miracle is one of the five major milestones in Jesus' life. The other four include the baptism, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. The story is celebrated as a special event or feast day in almost every faith of Christianity, including Protestants, Eastern Orthodox, and Roman Catholics. The passage appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels almost identically. Very few distinguishing differences. It's referenced in 2 Peter and theorized to be the source of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. This information all seems to express that the miracle of the Transfiguration is important. In fact, Thomas Aquinas even considered it the most important miracle Jesus ever did because it combined the witness of the baptism when God claims Jesus as her beloved son while revealing the kingdom of heaven. Finally, there are theologians like Karl Barth who actually argues that the importance of this miracle is in its unique characteristic that it is only happening to Jesus. However, did this miracle only happen to Jesus? Or is this miracle happening for us all? Let us return to Jesus and the disciples who are in conflict and look at this at the Transfiguration with new eyes. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, for they are the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, according to Dennis Duling. Yet, Andrew is also part of the inner circle, which leads me to believe that Peter, James, and John were not being honored by heading up the mountain. Rather, they were being shown a vision because their faith has waned as they wallow in emotional despair, unable to get past what Jesus told them. In other words, I believe they are the ones opposing Jesus' worldview and of the impending crucifixion. It is on this mountain where the disciples see the vision of Jesus being accepted into the kingdom of heaven with Moses and Elijah. Now in Christianity, this is the emotional bulk of the miracle. We see into the kingdom of heaven and the connection between the divine and temporal in Jesus. But we cannot stop there. For if we do, we are still relying on emotions alone. We are only seeing the awe-inspiring nature of the Transfiguration, the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, the brilliance of a miracle happening to our Messiah alone. Rather, let us look deeper at the disciples. Let us see the vision as it can provide hope. Hope that there is something more after this life through their eyes. hope for something more after the impending crucifixion, hope that we will one day be with God. When we look through their eyes, the disciples' eyes, we see how their worldview changes, allowing us to see past the emotions of their conflict and witness a vision of the future. Afterwards, James and John seem transformed. They stop fighting in the presence of this vision. Yet Peter is still upset. He still continues to fight. He tries to continue the conflict by offering to build three dwellings, which would, of course, be another human need, not something for the divine. Finally, he does concede when the cloud of God says, "Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." At this point, Peter is finally shaken past his emotion, his grief over losing Jesus, and the conflict seems to end. Later in the chapter, Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection once again. However, this time, there is no conflict, even though the disciples are still distressed. Therefore, I deny that the transfiguration was a miracle that happened only to Jesus. I believe this miracle was one which happened to Peter, James, and John. And I believe this miracle is happening to us every single day. Although the glorious vision, of course, of the kingdom of heaven is rarely witnessed, but God is continually revealing visions through nature, through animals, through people following conflicts. These visions are like when we wake up lonely and see a brilliant sunrise and realize that there is something more in this life. These visions are like when we are full of doubt and all of a sudden see a newborn baby and realize we are imbued with the possibilities that can still happen. These visions are like when we see another person who is upset and we stand there for them. Your presence, your very presence, is a vision that can change someone else's life. This miracle of transfiguration is a change which comes from the visions, like when we tell each other, "I see you, and I am here." That said, how will we transform the world? Now, I would like to be clear that I believe the Methodist vote is a tragedy for me, for my theology, and for the way I understand God. I make this statement for my vision of the world is a world where all people are equal and reconciled to the one I call God. Furthermore, this vote directly harms the LGBTQ plus community by questioning their humanity via their sexuality. And it harms the United Methodist community by questioning their humanity via their theology. There seems to be no winner. They are in very emotional spaces at this moment. Both sides are trying to be faithful. My concern is that our friends will stay in this space unless we help them, unless we become their vision so they may step into another way of viewing this vote. Still, how do we change the world? How do we make it better for the LGBTQ plus community? How do we change the minds of an opposing worldview? To answer, let us look one last time at the Transfiguration. Jesus revealed a vision, and then Peter broke from his emotions, which kept echoing his sadness. Therefore, what do? We become the vision which inspires change. We stand up and say, "I see you, and I am here." We say, "I do not agree with that view because God loves us and created us all equally, but I see you, and I am here." We continue to lift up those who are suffering and affirm their humanity by saying, "I see you, and I am here." We use the best tool that God gave us, the tool of love. That is how we change the world. not with the hammer of oppression or the passion of emotion, but with the divine love of modern visions. Like when we say, I see you, and I am here.